back.
You're listening to You Would Think, the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and joining me, for some reason, is Mike Giletto. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. I know we talked last week about the fact that you weren't going to be on as a co-host anymore, and, you know, your life got busy and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we're going to pull back the curtain here a little bit. This is our third time recording this show.
Yeah, what a 24 hours it has been.
Yeah, it hasn't been great in the You Would Think studios here.
Yep.
Mike Sr., who will be on next week's show, he's going to be kind of our co-host moving forward. I talked to him, and it's going to be a me and Mike Giletto show, just the other Mike Giletto. But he's got to figure out how to work technology.
Yeah, he does. He's, yeah,
you know,
to put it lightly.
The first time we tried to record, he didn't have his computer plugged in properly. The second time, he didn't record. So we're working on him. But in the meantime, Mike Jr. has volunteered to jumping out of his producer role and back in the co-host chair. So how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good. It's a little bit of an emergency recording. A
little stressful, yeah. We're recording this kind of Sunday midday-ish. Mike's got a
football game, so I'm good.
He's got football to watch, so we better be careful. But we do still have a lot to talk about, and
yeah, for sure.
We're gonna do our best to make this, you know, as close to a normal show as we can. But I'm not gonna lie to you guys, there is a little bit of frustration on my end. So we'll do what we can.
Oh, you're just burnt out at this point. I get it.
Yeah. And like
when you record the same show three times, it's rough.
It wears
it's
exhausting. On you, but yeah, you know what? At the same time, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, no, and this is why, you know, we pay the big bucks, and by big bucks, I mean not much, but anyway,
zero.
Yeah.
But also, it's good that you're on because this is episode number 50.
50 hit a milestone.
If you include the original run of the show, obviously, this is episode 50. Now, if you don't include the original run, it's episode 2. But
four,
you know,
or five, whatever, four or five, whatever, you know.
It's episode 50, so here we are.
Episode 50, it's big.
It's big, and you know, we've had a great time on this show. We've, you know, we've laughed, we've cried, we've talked about Eric Lindros a bunch, and here we are, you know, almost 2 years after we started this show, and we're back full time. We're back weekly. It's good to be here. I'm not gonna lie.
Good to be back.
Frustrations aside, it's good that we're back up and running, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
I like this positive view.
And I'm trying so hard. I'm trying so hard. But it's easy to be positive when the Flyers are 1-0. So let's
1-0.
Talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that game Friday. The Flyers are undefeated. The Flyers have a perfect record.
Yeah.
They beat the Chicago Blackhawks 4-3 in Prague, Czech Republic. And they played a great game.
They did. No, they looked really good.
Now, I know you were at work, but I know you were following the game. How much did you actually physically get to see?
I saw the third period, but I listened to the first two on the radio.
Oh, right. So I don't remember specifically in the third period, but the Travis Konechny line was incredible.
Yeah, like, again, I didn't watch the first two periods. I listened to it on the radio. But just from the radio broadcast, it seems like he was just all over the ice.
Right.
Just all over the ice. He looked great.
Right. And one thing I would like to mention is that AV threw us a bit of a curveball. Throughout the course of the preseason, our lines kind of look similar to they were last year. Basically, with Hayes slotting in for Patrick on the second line, Patrick being bumped down to the third, and then he got hurt doing the migraine thing. And, you know, that's kind of what we all expected coming into the regular season. And then this first game, AV unveils the new top six.
Yeah.
And it's Kevin Hayes centering Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek.
Yep.
And then Sean Couturier centering Oscar Lindblom and Travis Konechny.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. We saw it a little bit at the tail end of it, I think, in that game against Lausanne. Because I think he was just so
frustrated.
When
we were down 3-0?
Yeah, we were so frustrated. I think he just kind of say, hey, let's see what we can do as far as line combinations, because we're not doing a damn thing. But
right.
Well, so it's a little surprising they came this way on game one, I think.
Right. Well, and it's nice to see, because if you watched the Behind the Glass specials, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been terrific so far.
Yeah, it absolutely has been. And they talked a lot about AV needing to find combinations with chemistry and getting a little bit of jump in the step. And, you know, that's kind of what he was looking for when they sent all the Phantoms down.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
A week early or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, you're starting from scratch. Right? You got a new coach, right. New systems, you know, a couple new players, and they're just trying to learn things right now. That's really what the preseason was about for them.
Yeah, and they made a big point of, oh, the line combos aren't working. Let's find something with some chemistry. Let's do this, that, and the other thing. And it sure looks, I know it's only one game, it's a small sample size, but it sure looks like Vigneault has found something that works, at least for now.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that line was the best line in that game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you.
And that includes the line with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane on it. And I think this line was better.
Yeah, I give you that.
Travis Konecny scored twice. Should have had another assist on the Lindblom goal. Who scored that other goal? That Travis Konecny absolutely should have gotten an assist on.
Yeah, well, that was the Lindblom goal. It was the one that hit off of the Chicago defender, right? Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah.
Yes. Travis Konecny absolutely should have.
Yeah, that defender did not have control of the puck like, at all.
No,
yeah.
I agree.
So that was a little sketchy, but yeah. And then the beautiful backhand play by Konecny. That was pretty.
An absolute gem. That was a goal scorer's goal.
Yeah, that was a very pretty goal.
And that's got to be frustrating from the Chicago perspective because you shielded them well. You got the puck away from the net. You got them out of a shooting position.
Yeah.
And then he just somehow backhand roofed it.
Yep.
And an absolute snipe. It's not often you see a backhander get called a snipe, but that was an absolute snipe.
No, it was. And the release off of the backhand was incredible.
Yeah.
It was just such a quick release.
I said this to you when we talked about it this week. That was the best game Travis Konecny's played as a Flyer.
Yeah, and he needed to after the whole contract thing happened, and he just needed to get off on the right foot. And
you know
it
what?
Seems like he has.
The first game of a 6-year contract is a great time to have your best career game.
For sure, yeah.
There's no bad time to have your best career game, but game one of a 6-year deal is a real good time to do
it. Prove any doubters wrong. Not that I don't think Konecny has any doubters. Yeah, no. I just don't think there were. Especially for that contract price.
Right. That was one of those contracts that pretty much everybody universally looked at it and went, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, if he signed, you know, 6 years at 10.5, then people might say, all right, we need him to produce in order for this to look well, because if not, this is going to be terrible for us. It wasn't one of those things there.
But you know what? If the lines stay as is, if TK is on the second line with Kutz and Lindblom, That's going to be a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, and that line really just has a little bit of everything. Like, you got Couturier, who's just great defensively. You got Konecny, who can just fly and has the speed. And you have Lindblom, who's just smart, and he's at the right place at the right time. He'll go to the dirty areas. That line just has it all.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Kutz's goal production drop a little bit.
And not playing next to Giroux will do that.
But I think his point production is going to stay the same or maybe even go up.
Right. No, I can see that.
Right, he doesn't need to be the one, you know, finishing the great passing play by Claude Giroux. He's the one making the great passing play and letting Travis Konecny, you know, finish.
Right, no, absolutely.
You know, I could see Konecny getting over 30 this year. I could see him pushing 40. I don't know if he's going to get there.
Well, he's got to, so that's a good place to start.
I could see 30, 35 pretty easily for Travis Konecny.
Also, speaking of the two goals that he had, like, I understand they're trying to win the game. But you got 50 seconds or whatever it was with an empty net. Put Konecny out there.
See, he was out there for some of it.
Let's see. Was he? Maybe the tail end of it, I don't think he was. Let him get the Hattie.
I'm surprised you're not one of those people who thinks that if you get a Hattie on an empty net, it's kind of lame.
I don't know if it's lame. I don't know if I use the word lame. Like, I could understand saying that it's less impressive.
It's less impactful. I think that would be his first career Hattie, wouldn't it?
I don't remember another one.
No, I don't either.
I don't remember another one. There was somebody who had a hat trick in the same game as Couturier. Was that Giroux last season? I don't think it was Konecny.
Was that the playoff game?
I think so, yeah.
I know Couturier had one.
Might have been Giroux. or even JVR.
I thought it was somebody weird like Michael Roffel or something like that. It could be.
I don't know.
JVR did have a hat trick last year, not in the playoffs.
Right.
I was actually at that game. I lost my hat on that one.
There you go.
Yeah. And now, listen, you got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I have a question for you.
Okay.
After seeing this game, do you have any concerns? Is there anything at all that you're concerned about?
After that particular game, not really.
I don't have many. The one small concern I have is if they're going to take their foot off the gas once they score. Like, we saw them score the first goal of the game, right? Yeah. By Konechny. A minute and a half later, Chicago tied it up, right? And then you saw them go up, I think it was 3-1, right after the third goal, a minute and a half later, DeBrincat scored. So I'm curious if that's going to continue where they give the goal back immediately after scoring. But
yeah, that'll be
interesting to keep an eye on.
You know, by the same token, give them credit because that DeBrincat goal at the end of the second period could have very easily been a momentum shift.
Oh, yeah, that's breaker. A deflating goal. I think it was, 15 seconds left, something like that?
Right. And then they came out and not only held the lead, but added to it with the Michael Roffel goal, nine and a half, 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
So, you know, Chicago very easily could have taken all the momentum into the locker room, come out roaring, and...
For sure.
You know, stolen that game.
Yeah.
So... I understand where you're coming from, but right. You got to give the team credit for not letting that
affect them,
puncture them, right?
For sure. And the game could have easily been more wide open than the Flyers only being up a goal or two at a time. I mean, Crawford stood on his head at some point.
For sure,
the Flyers Crawford was big.
I haven't seen the chance numbers, but I would be willing to bet the Flyers outchanced the Blackhawks pretty significantly.
Yeah, I would guess that too.
Because, like, there were some times where Kane and Taves got out there and dominated play for a little bit. But for the most part, when pretty much anybody else was on the ice, the Flyers had the puck, the Flyers were in the zone, the Flyers were generating shots and scoring chances.
Right. Another small concern I had was Ivan Provorov with the turnovers. I think he had one that led right to a goal. I think that might have been the first goal by Nylander, just giving the puck away in the neutral zone. I mean, the Flyers had 17 giveaways. It's not great.
It's not great.
No, it's not great.
It's definitely not great. That's something that a young defense will do. And the Flyers, for sure. The Flyers still are a youngish team. You know, if you look at some of our big names, you know, that second line, Travis Konechny and Oscar Lindblom are 22, 23 years old.
Right.
Kut is only 26.
Only.
Right.
Young 26. He's been in the league forever. He's an old 26.
He came out in his first year. He was getting run by James Neal in the playoffs. Like,
yep.
That game was crazy.
James Neal and Geno Malkin.
Yeah. So, I get that as a concern. But at the same time, Provorov probably has a little less pressure on him this year because the defensive core got better around him.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Sanheim is, you know, a year more mature. Shane Gostisbehere is looking for a bounce back season. You have a little bit of veteran presence with Niskanen and Braun. It's a much more stable defensive core this year.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
So I think Ivan Provorov, you know, he doesn't have to play 28 minutes a night this year like he did for large stretches of the season last year. And I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair, but like that was a big criticism I had of him last year was the turnovers in costly spots. So the fact that it happened game one, I don't love, but he's 21-ish,
right.
22. So I expect that to get better. But,
and what did he play, two, maybe three preseason games? So he's probably still shaking off some rust.
It's possible.
And
I'm sure they had the players probably had a lot of jet lag. A little bit of the first period was kind of sloppy. I'm sure there was some jet lag. You know, they've been, you know, crushing it, you know, drinking a lot of beers over in Prague all week. So like,
especially Jake Voracek.
Yeah. Jake Voracek was having a blast.
Every time he touched the puck, the crowd went bananas.
Yeah. That had to have been a Flyers crowd at that point. Right. I mean, he's a hero over there.
Yeah, it was pretty split. There were some Let's Go Blackhawks chants. There were some Let's Go Flyers chants. It was a little different. The crowd seemed almost polite. you know,
welcoming the NHL split. To their arena,
right? Kind of also, a neutral zone,
right? And so I know we asked this on last week's show about the Olympic size ice. So apparently that is an Olympic size arena typically, but they had to like work all summer to try to get that to the NHL size standard.
Yeah, they cut it 3 or 4 feet in on each side to kind of get it down to NHL standards. And they're actually leaving it that way for the season.
Yeah, so all the club teams over there play that way. It's a different, whole different style of play.
Yeah, and you saw that, and that transitions us into the game against Lausanne on Monday. You saw the international ice really, really hurt the Flyers.
Yeah.
Even though it's only a couple extra feet, it's an entirely different
game. Oh, yeah, you have so much more time to like get to a loose puck, and things. You have so much more ground to cover, and it's a whole different game.
Right, and also, you know, if you missed that game, the Flyers went down 4-0 to Lausanne, a Swiss club team.
Not great.
No. Carter Hart got yanked.
Yeah.
And then they ended up coming back and making it a 4-3 game. They were pushing at the end. They were, you know, competitive and in the game. But you can't really blame the guys for mailing it in a little bit on an exhibition game.
Oh, yeah, they didn't care. You know. And to the Swiss team, that was their...
It was the biggest game of their season.
That was their Stanley Cup. So,
it was the biggest game of their season. It was the most exposure they're ever going to have. Yeah, probably the most viewership they're ever going
to
have.
Yeah, the Flyers probably didn't even expect them to come out that hard at all.
Right.
And at that point, you're just playing not to get hurt against some random team in, you know, Switzerland.
And,
so.
And Travis Konecny went down, left the game for a little while. He did end up coming back before the end of that period, but... It was a scary moment. He kind of crashed into the boards at a pretty high speed. Obviously, it didn't affect him on Friday. But, yeah, so at that point, you know, you're down 4-0. Carter Hart gets chased. Brian Elliott comes in and plays really well. Give him credit for coming in cold and playing well. The team kind of climbed back. You know what? I don't mind it because there's going to be times in the season where you're down 4-0 and you got to yank your goalie.
Do you think they yanked him just as a, I don't know about a message, but like, I think it was more to do so like, hey, this is a meaningless game, we're down 4-0, let's just get him out of there so he doesn't get hurt? Do you think there was any of that to that, or do you think he's just trying to win the game?
It felt pretty significantly to me like a change the tide of the game.
Okay.
Try to get a little momentum, and you can't bench the whole team for lack of effort, so you pull the goalie to try to light a fire under them.
Yep.
Carter Hart was really left out to dry.
Oh, for sure.
The four goals were not really his fault in a lot of ways. So I think it was definitely a message by Vigneault to kind of, hey, boys, let's go.
All right.
Come on. This game doesn't matter, but it matters. Let's
go. Right. Yeah, and Vigneault seems like he's going to be this guy that's kind of in your face. You know, my way or the highway. We saw
a change from the last regime.
Oh, absolutely. And we saw on the behind-the-glass thing where one of the reporters asked him, you know, how are the veterans going to handle this, you know?
When they sent all the Phantoms down three or four games early and the veterans are now going to have to play a bunch more games.
Right. And he was like, oh, honestly, they don't really have a choice.
No, and it was a little smirk and a, you know, my way or the highway type of vibe.
Yep.
So I talked about this with your father on the Forgotten podcast. And, you know, basically, excuse time is over for the players.
Yeah.
You've gotten your GM fired. You've gotten your coach fired. It's on you. And this is kind of the roster that you have, and it's time to figure it out. And if you don't do something this year, if you don't make some sort of noise this year, it's time to start pulling things apart.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you don't get to that next step this year, you know, where do you go from here? Do you trade a Jake Voracek? Do you entertain training Claude Giroux? I wouldn't, but do you entertain those kind of conversations if you don't get to that next level this year? Because at the end of the day, like you said, you fired your GM and your coach. When do you start to just completely blame the players here?
You have to hold the players accountable at 100%. Some point, for sure. And also, we're only about 18 months away from the Seattle expansion draft.
Yep.
So that'll change the team too. The Flyers are going to lose somebody good.
Yeah.
We're not losing Pierre-Edouard Belmar like we did in the Vegas draft.
Right, because they're going to have to protect, since it's so far away, they're going to have to protect a guy like Farabee, like Frost.
The good thing is, you only have to protect one goalie. Carter Hart's safe and sound.
Yeah, for sure.
But other than that, you're going to protect Giroux, Voracek. I think those are the only... Oh, and Hayes.
I was going to say Kevin Hayes. No move. Yeah.
You're going to protect probably Coots, TK, Lindblom.
That's it.
That's your forward core. Those are all the forwards you can protect, because defensively, you have to protect Provorov, Ghost, and then pick one.
Sanheim probably at that point.
Sanheim, yeah.
But yeah, so at that point, and then in the forward core, yeah, but the forward core, you didn't even name Farabee or Frost, who were extremely high on.
And they might not be eligible.
I think it's 2 years pro. This is their first year, so next year will be their second year.
And I think it's more than 2 years pro.
Is it?
I believe with Vegas, you had to start your third. You know what I mean?
It might be true.
It was 2+ years pro.
Okay, because
if you remember, the Avalanche played Cale Makar in the playoffs, even though he was, that would put him into his third season, and they're going to have to protect him.
Wait, it's probably a different player, because Cale Makar is starting his first season right now.
Right, but he played in the playoffs. So he got service time from last season.
I see what you said. Oh, you're saying next year. I got you. For the expansion team.
Cale Makar will play this full season and next full season. So he should be exempt. But because he played in the playoffs last year, he's got service time across three seasons.
Really? Okay.
So he's going to be eligible.
That makes sense.
I believe that's the case. I remember that being a talking point after Cale Makar left college. If they played him, it would burn a year of his expansion draft eligibility.
Okay. So then maybe Frost and Farabee won't have to be protected. Right.
So I believe Farabee and Frost are safe. Oh, it depends. Did they come up at the end of the year and play for the Phantoms? That might change things. I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you.
I don't know.
Right. So regardless.
I know Farabee signed his contract after his college year was up, but I don't remember if he played or not.
Right. Well, regardless, we're about a year and a half away from that. So it's time to start thinking about it when you're making trades like a trading Jake Voracek or, you know, some of these big moves that we're talking about potentially being a possibility. Do you move on from a Shane Goss to spare? Do you, like, because I know it sounds silly because we all think Ghost is this kid who just came up, but he's like 27.
Yeah.
He's not.
He spent all 4 years in college, so he didn't get here until 24.
Right.
I think he played one year in the A or just a half. I think it was just that half.
It was just that half season because he started up and then got hurt and went down, and then Mark Streit got hurt and he came back up.
Yep. The infamous Something Mark like Streit injury.
Oh, he sure did break his junk. Anyway, so, you know, it's time to start thinking about that sort of thing. Because teams are going to be looking to move out the no trade clauses and the no move clauses and get themselves set up. So you got to be careful with, you know, if you trade Jake Voracek, what do you get back? You know, make sure you're not taking somebody with a no move clause back.
Right.
That you would have to protect. It's time to start thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Kevin Hayes was definitely thinking about it when he signed his deal. That's why the first 3 years include a no move.
Yeah, he didn't want to go to Seattle. He didn't want to go to an expansion team. Protection. Now, like, I don't think...
Now, you say that, but
I don't think Vegas is the outlier. I don't think like Seattle's going to do what Vegas did. I think the GMs are smarter, having already been through it once before.
Just give NHL GMs credit for something?
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
Right, they did. Like every year, bad contracts get signed
for sure.
Like the Pittsburgh Penguins just signed Brandon Tanev for like what, 5 years,
something like that.
And they signed Jack Johnson for a million years, and they're already trying to move that contract. Just scored a goal last
night, by the way.
I know, and then they were trying to move that. They're trying to move him.
Well, they pretty much have to. Their cap situation's all sort of messed up.
I know. We talked about it on last week's show. They were $400,000 over the cap.
Yeah.
And then they didn't make any moves. So I assume they're still over the cap.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what? It's just going to start counting against next year, right?
The cap is weird to me. Like, there's a hard cap, but then there's kind of a soft cap with, like, LTIR and...
Right.
Yeah, there's a certain
the
amount of money.
The cap is so bizarre.
It's so strange, the wording in these CBA.
There are people who study the cap for, like, as their full-time gig.
Oh,
like,
it's insane.
Teams have capologists who it's their specialty. And then you still see teams running into cap issues. You know, it's awful.
Yep. And cap reasons are the reason, you know, cap issues are the reasons why the Flyers had to send down Myers and Farabee.
Yep.
At least that's what it seems.
Right. Well, because of the Patrick injury and, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yep.
We haven't gotten an update on him, have we?
No. Now, it makes me think he's coming back sooner rather than later. Right, because they didn't put him on LTIR.
But I think you have to miss 20 games to be on LTIR.
It's 10 games or 30 days, I think it is. Okay. I think it's 30 days or 10 games.
So they have to think, but it's one of those things where migraines are so tricky.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and you don't want to stick him on LTIR because tomorrow he could wake up and they could be gone.
Yeah.
And then now he's got to sit 10 days or,
But it still makes me think maybe they're close to figuring this out. Maybe he's close to playing. Because if not, then you just put him on LTIR, you wait the 10 games, 30 days, whatever it is, and then you keep Farabee here, who probably gives you a good, you know, a better chance to win.
Right.
Than a guy like Pitlick or,
by the way,
you know, one of those guys.
One of the big stories of the summer was the Kevin Hayes contract.
Yep.
And a lot of people thought that it was too long or too much money or, you know, the no move clause, whatever, you know, a lot of people didn't like
all
it.
All fair criticisms. Like, that's, not sure. Looking at just the player, but like, all fair criticisms on the contract itself.
Right. But if you look at, you know, what Alain Vigneault did in the first game, all of a sudden paying $7 million for your top center is not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's
true. If he's gonna play first line center, and then you still have Sean Couturier on the second line making 4.5 or whatever he's making.
On a bargain.
One of the best contracts in hockey.
Yep.
Top five. It's up there with McKinnon.
Yeah. Yeah, well, McKinnon's making, what, $6 million? And he's like the third best player in the league, yeah.
I said it's up there with McKinnon.
No, for sure.
It's not there.
Yep.
Sean Couturier is 90% as good as Nathan McKinnon and making 75% the money. So, you know, the numbers work out.
It's hard to say he's 90% of McKinnon, but like, I get what you're saying.
Either way, so if you look at it like that, where Hayes is making first-line center money, Sean Couturier is making second line center money. That contract looks a lot better when you think about it like that. And I'm curious, I wonder if Vigneault had the intention of putting Hayes as 1C when they signed the contract. I wonder if he knew what he was going to do.
Like, I get the money angle that you have going on right now, but like, is Kevin Hayes a first line center talent? I don't think he is.
Okay,
so that's part's a little concerning.
Who was the best? Who was the best winger he played with in New York? I'll wait.
Yeah, like
I'll wait.
Kreider. I don't even know if he played with Kreider. Probably not.
I think Kreider played with Zibanejad.
Yeah, who's also been just tearing it up.
8 points in 2 games.
Yeah, along with that hat trick on Saturday. Yep.
Yeah, but you know,
but yeah, you're right. Kreider
had a hat trick last night too.
That's true. But yeah, you're right. Now Kreider, I think, played on the first line, so he probably just hasn't played with good talent at all.
Right. So, he's played with, you know, scrubs and AHLers.
Yeah, and then when he went to Winnipeg, he was just on the fourth line.
Winnipeg was a disaster internally. The last half of the year with Patrick Laine not knowing where he's playing, and
right,
they don't know how to slot Kevin Hayes in, and this, that, and the other thing. They kind of fell apart down the stretch,
for sure.
And it kind of makes sense, you know, now that stories start to leak out, right? We didn't know at the time that Laine was that upset. We didn't know at the time that Hayes hated it that much. But now, you know, that we're beyond it and we start to see it, it makes sense why Winnipeg kind of fell apart down the stretch.
Yeah, it makes sense. Speaking of the Winnipeg Jets, like, I know we're a Flyers podcast here, but let's dive into the rest of the NHL a little bit.
Part of our rebrand into going Flyers is that we will also talk about other stories from throughout the NHL. So I'm completely fine with a little bit of NHL talk here. So hit me with your Jets.
What's the deal with Dustin Byfuglien? He's been invisible. Like
I told you, I think he's going to come back in January when, you know, when he can still be on the playoff roster.
I'll make some sort of announcement. Like, it's just been weird.
Why? If he tells the team, then that's good enough. You know, they don't have to announce it.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a little sketchy. Like, if you remember when Mike Fisher did it in Nashville, he told everybody he was retired. And then in January, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I've been training all year. I'm right. Back.
Exactly.
And I have a feeling something similar is going
Winnipeg,
on.
Because Winnipeg just seems like the thirsty girlfriend, and he's just kind of ghosting them, just, you know, hanging them out to dry.
But as far as I know, he's still in Winnipeg. And if you're not coming back to play, why are you spending your winter in Winnipeg if you don't have to?
Yeah, I guess.
It's minus, you know, 50 degrees Celsius
right.
all the time.
I don't know. What is that in Fahrenheit? I see. I'm not Canadian. I don't know this stuff.
So, like, why would you spend your time there if you weren't going to come back or if you weren't training? And he's met with the team multiple times.
Right.
So they know what's going on. He knows what's going on. Now, maybe he's still making up his mind, but at the least, the team is aware of what's happening.
Yeah, but, like, spoiler alert, like, they need him desperately. Like, yeah, the first game, the first game, I think they let up six or seven. The second night, they let up five. Like, they need him back there.
You mean Neil Pionk isn't the answer?
No, he's not the answer.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, geez. Wow, yeah. That's...
Like, Josh Morrissey's fine. He's a very good player.
Josh Morrissey's great.
But not by himself.
No, he's not. You need other people there. He's not a one.
No.
He's a really, really, really good two.
Yeah.
But.
So that story was just bizarre to me. The fact that, like, he's just out of sight, out of mind at this point. Nobody's heard a thing from him, like, about any of it. It's weird. It's really strange.
Yeah. And like I said, as long as he's keeping the team abreast, which I'm sure he is. You know, I'm going to give the guy some time to kind of work out his decision. You know, he's been around long enough to earn it.
Right.
You know, he's been one of the best defensemen in the league for a decade, and then he was a pretty good forward for about a half a decade before that.
Yeah, remember the time Dustin Byfuglien was a forward?
Remember that time Dustin Byfuglien won the Stanley Cup in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
As a forward? That Chicago team was
not as a flyer, by the way.
No. No, literally in the city of Philadelphia. Yep,
no, I gotcha.
That
puck still never went in, by the way. Puck still ain't going.
Absolutely.
I'm convinced.
That Blackhawks team was dumb.
Yeah.
Like, they were so good.
Yeah, and that was before they really got to the peak, though. Like,
yep.
That was before.
That was kind of their. We won a little before anyone expected
the cup. Right. Yeah, that was their welcome to the NHL party. Like, I think they won two of the next four cups after that, something like that. Yeah.
Them and LA just went back and forth for like half a decade there.
Pretty much, yeah.
But yeah, like, that team was dumb. And meanwhile, the Flyers team had like Andreas Nodal playing top pair minutes on defense.
Yeah. No, they got that far that year because of like two people.
It was Mike Richards.
Well, I was going to say Briere and Pronger.
It was Mike Richards.
Yeah.
Briere having 30 points, great. Chris Pronger being Chris Pronger, great. Mike Richards was the heart and soul of that team.
Yeah.
And I know you listen to Chicklets. I know you heard his interview on Spit and Chicklets about a week ago.
Talk about a fall from grace.
Yeah, I didn't realize that him and LaViolette had issues that severe.
Yeah, it was an interesting, like, I wonder if, like, I guess that's why they shipped him out.
Right. In case our listeners don't know, Mike Richards was on Spit and Chicklets, about a week ago, and it was his first any sort of media appearance in 5+ years. Like, it's been a while.
Well, he has rifts with the media. Like, that's no secret.
And he talked a lot about his time in Philly and the fact that LaViolette didn't really respect that Richards had the C.
Well, yeah, he thought it was Pronger's C.
LaViolette, LaViolette thought Pronger. That Pronger should be wearing the C and treated Pronger as a captain in the room, and Richards got a little butthurt about it.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, kind of listening back through it a second time, he sounds a little childish. Lavi didn't treat me like the captain.
Right.
It's a little, a little
holding a grudge kind of feel.
Right. But if you're the captain, you shouldn't need anybody to pat your back and tell you that you're the captain.
I agree.
Should be able to step up and, well, that's fine. I don't care if you think I'm the captain. These boys will follow me into war, so I'm the captain.
Right.
You're going to have to deal with it.
Right. Yeah, he just said it kind of gave a weird dynamic in the locker room.
Yeah, and it comes across as a little whiny.
Yeah.
as a little petulant.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Right, and, you know, no disrespect to Mike Richards. And, you know, Mike, if you're listening and you want to come on the show, we'll, you know, we'll let you plead your case anytime you want.
Yeah.
But it sounds a little petulant. Sounds a little, all right, you know, daddy, you know, daddy doesn't think I'm the captain. Well, chill. Right. Be a leader. But step up.
Hey, it worked out for them, for him and Carter, because, hey, they won for two sure. cups doing it, so.
For sure. And in the meantime, we got back, you know, basically the core of the team. We got back Braden Schenn, Jake Voracek,
Wayne Simmons,
Sean Couturier, and the pick that became Nick Cousins, who was solid for a little while.
Yeah, he was okay. Nice little fourth line agitator.
All right, now speaking of Wayne Simmons,
replaceable.
He's coming back this week. Shut up.
For a call out for our older fans.
Yeah, if you've gone back and listened to the original run of the show, thank you very much. Mike's an idiot. So Wayne Simmons comes back this week.
Yep.
Wednesday night, Flyers home opener against the New Jersey Devils, because he had to sign in the division, didn't he?
Well, listen, you're going to get offered $5 million. Chances are they're the only ones that were offering that.
Then he probably thinks he's healthy and wants a chance to earn a, you know, a bigger ticket.
Right.
And 1 year, $5 million is a great prove it deal.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, he comes back and he makes his return to Philadelphia this Wednesday. He made a comment in the media the other day, about a week and a half ago at this point.
Yep.
About his return to Philadelphia, and said, you know, well, if they don't boo me, I'll be pretty disappointed.
Right.
If you're at the game, what are you doing?
Like, I know it's not going to happen, but it would be great if, you know, he comes out there and the Flyers fans just give him, like, maybe 5 to 10 seconds of boo, and then just erupt into cheers.
Yeah.
Like, just give him what he wants, because I think he deserves it. I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah.
It's
hard to coordinate that with, you know, 20,000 fans, but...
I'm gonna be there, and I'm not going to be booing him.
Ah, boo him. No. Do it. Do
Absolutely
it.
Not. He's going to be disappointed.
Say he deserves to be happy.
What's your favorite Wayne Simmons moment?
Favorite Wayne Simmons? There's so many.
I know. There's the time he got kicked out of a game for punching Dylan McElrath in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, like, none really come to mind off the top. Like, it's just a collection of Wayne Simmons moments in my head.
Him fighting Derek Englund in the 2012 playoffs.
Yeah. Him taking a puck off the face that went in the net. That was great.
Yep. Him leaning over the boards to scream at, I think it was Chris Letang when him and Hartnell fought.
Yep.
And he pulled Hartnell down by his hair.
Right. And then there's PK Subban telling one of his teammates, don't fight Wayne Simmons.
I was just about to say, my all-time favorite Wayne Simmons moment doesn't even involve Wayne Simmons directly.
Right.
So it was one of the Canadians' outdoor games, and they were doing like the mic'd up special, you know, documentary stuff for it. And PK Subban's wearing a mic. And Max Pacioretty and Wayne Simmons, and PK Subban are talking about somebody on the opposing team. And Pacioretty goes, oh, you know, is this guy tough? Is he, like, what's going on? And PK Subban goes, well, he's tough, but he's not Wayne Simmons tough. And Pacioretty laughs and goes, oh, what about him? Can I get him on my card? You know, my fight card? And PK just, no.
No, you don't want to fight Wayne Simmons.
You cannot fight Wayne Simmons. And oh, I'd be willing. Great. I would be willing to bet my life savings on the fact that that clip will be in the video package on Wednesday.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
It's going to have
to. Oh, that'd be awesome, yeah.
And the Flyers production team does a phenomenal job with in-game presentation.
For sure.
I expect that video package to be incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not just hits. It's not just fights. He was, you know, pretty consistently a 25-30 goal scorer.
Yeah.
A whole lot of them are from the net front on the power play, but that's fine.
All-Star Game MVP, the one year.
All-Star Game MVP, he won a truck.
Yeah, there you go.
Someone that you and I know at your place of employment actually worked in that neighborhood and saw the truck in the neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll talk about it after the show.
Okay.
But
I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah, the guy who does that area. He's a big Flyers fan. Okay. Short fella. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah. He's got two first names.
We did all but say his name.
Listen, it's fine. I'm not going to blow him up like that. But if you know who it is, then you know who it is.
Yeah, I know who it is.
So he said he saw the truck in that area for a couple of weeks before Wayne sold it. They did some like PR shots with it.
Right.
But that one hurt. Like, I know that trading him was the best decision, and like, we basically traded him for Tyler Pitlick, which is weird.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, we traded him for Hartman and then Hartman for Pitlick. And I think we got like a fourth or something out of it, something pretty minor.
Right. Yeah, it's really, I don't know.
But overall.
But like, you had to do it. You had to just get something for him. And like, at that point, the value just wasn't high on Wayne Simmons. I mean, he was going downhill. He was aging.
And he deserved a chance to go to a contender. Right. Now, obviously, it didn't work out. Nashville didn't even really make that deep of a run.
And he struggled with Nashville. Like, there's no secret there.
I think it was one goal in 19 games and only 4 or 5 points. Like, he was not very good. I think he was also on their third line. He got kind of buried in the depth.
He had 3 points in 17 games.
3 points. Wow.
He currently has 1 point in 2 games with the New Jersey Devils. So there you go.
It's a little harder to root for him.
Yeah, as long as he's in the division wearing the Devils logo, it's tough.
In Nashville, I was all in. All right, Wayne, go score some goals. Be an animal. Go win that Stanley Cup. You got this. Right. Now as a Devil, it's like,
At that point, he's in the West. You don't really care. You have Peter Laviolette that you could root for as well. So like, it made sense that we could here in Philly could root for Nashville.
Exactly. It's way tougher in the division. I wish him personal success, not so much team success.
No. We do not want the New Jersey Devils winning the Stanley Cup before we do.
Exactly.
I will lose my mind.
It's not going to happen. Don't worry. They have to rely on Corey Schneider. It's fine.
Yeah, and Mackenzie Blackwood.
I'm not worried about either of them.
But they do have Jack Hughes, who looks like an absolute player. Dude's a stud.
Yeah, it sure would be stupid for anyone to trade him away.
There's a fantasy hockey call, man. And then Nikita Gusev looked really good, too.
Yeah, he looks like found money.
Yeah.
You know, you got him for relatively cheap. He finally came over. He didn't really have a spot in Vegas's organization. You got him at a decent price. You got Wayne Simmons for free on the free agent market. You got PK Subban for relatively cheap.
Right.
New Jersey had a pretty good offseason.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's going to be interesting to see what they are as the season moves forward. But either way, Wayne Simmons comes back on Wednesday. I will be there. Section 223 if you want to come find me.
Boom.
Section 223 if you want to come find me. I will accept beers. And then next weekend, the Flyers fly out to Western Canada.
Yep.
The Flyers fly. I think I saw a stat somewhere that in the first like 10 days of the season, the Flyers are traveling something in the neighborhood of 13,000 miles.
It's absurd. Yeah, obviously because of the trip
flying
to Prague.
From Europe, right.
Flying to Europe, back home, then over to Western Canada.
You're home for one game.
Yep.
And then you're out to Western Canada. It's a lot of mileage.
Brutal. Yeah.
Team is probably going to come out flat in one of the Western Canada games.
Yeah. They play Saturday against the Canucks.
And then I think Tuesday, Wednesday against Calgary and Edmonton.
Yep. Yep, that's correct.
They're probably going to come out flat in one of those games, and it's hard to blame them.
Yeah.
Just with that amount of pure traveling, like, I understand the NHL wanting to showcase the Flyers, and I appreciate it, but why then do you make them go to Western Canada?
Right.
Why not give them 2 home games, or they play the Islanders and the Rangers, or they play,
right.
You know, play a division game or two. Even Carolina, where you're in the same time zone.
Right.
But you're then going to make them, you're going to make the players shift 9 or 10 hours in the span of a week and a half. And
for
like,
sure.
I don't know. I'm not one of these conspiracy theory, you know, the NHL hates us.
Come
things,
on.
But
lay it on me. I love conspiracy theories. You know
well,
that.
Well, this is one of those things where it kind of seems a little suspicious. It's like, well, do we have to do all that traveling? Like, really?
Right. Yeah. So, it's. I'd be curious, and I haven't yet. I'd be curious to look at Chicago if Chicago is just equally as bad.
I will pull it up real quick, but I doubt it. Just because they're so much more central, it's hard for them to get screwed quite that bad.
Right.
Oh. The Blackhawks next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games are at home.
It's all right. Yep. I buy your conspiracy theory. So
the Blackhawks probably got home today from Europe, yep. Maybe yesterday. They don't have to leave home until October 26th.
Yeah.
And then they play in Carolina.
Yep.
Yep, I'm all in.
Yeah, I buy your theory now.
The NHL hates us.
Yep, for whatever reason. We, you know, they're still getting us back for the Broad Street Bully days.
Oh, God. Also, just as a little dagger, no pun intended, when Chicago scored in the Czech Republic, they played Chelsea Dagger in the arena.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yep.
Like, I get it, but... Yep. Oh,
that's funny.
Come on. Just absolute daggers. Yep. Like I said, I get it. International experience. You want the fans to see. I get it. But, ugh.
Yeah, ouch. No, the overall experience was really good over in Prague. Like, yeah, they did a really nice job of the production of that game.
I still hate that song from 2010, though.
Yeah, well, haunts us in our dreams.
It really does. So that being said, we're going to wrap up today's episode. Thanks for joining us, and I apologize if I sounded a little grumpy. I tried really hard not to, but
you're again, a Flyers fan. You know, grumpiness comes with the territory.
You're right, although it's hard when they're 1-0.
That's true.
So thanks for the patience and for sticking with us through our third recording. And, you know, before we get out of here, you can find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes. We're back on iTunes.
We're on Google Play Music, or Google Podcasts as well, I think it's called.
Google Podcasts.
Yep.
And we may be able to be found in some other places shortly, but we can't tell you about that yet.
Nope, nothing's official yet. Hopefully we'll make an announcement next week.
Check out our Twitter at YWT Podcast for when that announcement goes live, or maybe on next week's show.
Yeah, sounds good.
So, Mike, thanks for joining me, even though I know... You know, that wasn't the original plan.
No, but hey, it worked out.
Yeah, get this edited. You know, we'll throw it up tonight. And in the meantime, go watch some football.
Sounds good. 8 o'clock tonight, upload. Go Birds, go Flyers.
Until then, we'll see you later.